grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I love me some Easter. I'm going to apologize in the beginning because I kind of geek out and my daughter is going to be really embarrassed. But this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, as we do every Sunday. Every Sunday is a mini Easter, but this is the day where it's full force. It's not drinking from a water hose on a hot summer day. It's busting up the whole fire hydrant and just showering in it and lapping that stuff in, which probably wouldn't taste that good, but you get the analogy. It's always so good to say it. We've said it a couple times already. To make the confession that defies our old enemies, death and the devil, and sort of, kind of, most definitely rubs their noses in the fact that they failed and Christ won. The confession that dabs in the face of demons. How's that look from with a chasuble on? How's that look? Dabs in the face of demons in blatant defiance. I wish my son was here for that. He'd love it. He'd say, "You're doing it wrong, Dad." But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know what confession I'm talking about? Some of you. You want to say it again? We all learned how to say it just a minute ago, right? You ready? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, not sorry. Easter's awesome. The news that death has been defeated once for all, that you and I will live forever in the new heavens, in the new earth, God's holy city, paradise without sin. This news that we will no longer mess up and that others won't mess up against us. That's the nice way of talking about sin, right? It's when we mess up, if we make a mistake. It's a mistake that kills, but it's a mistake. And these things won't be part of our lives ever again, ever. This gospel, this good news is the greatest of all time. And that's what Easter is all about. You, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a bodily resurrection to look forward to. A bodily resurrection. You're not going to be hanging out on the clouds like some wisp of smoke. You look forward to this body that you have being made perfect. As we heard in the epistle reading, the imperishable, what you have now, will put on, or excuse me, the perishable, what you have now, will put on the imperishable. The mortal will put on immortality. You have to look forward to a resurrection just like Jesus. Now, God's going to take care of all the physical obstacles. If you're wondering, well, how's that going to be? Like, am I going to be in the prime of my life? Am I going to revert back if I'm already over the hill? Am I going to revert back? I'm hoping I'll get into my prime of life sometime soon. Am I going to be like that? I don't know. Doesn't matter, does it? It's going to be perfect. However it's going to be, it's going to be perfect. God's going to take care of all the physical obstacles. That's what the ladies were wondering about on that Easter morning. Well, who's going to roll away the stone? It's already done. Every time I hear the words "roll away the stone," I think of an a cappella song I heard. Roll the stone away, roll the stone away. Lord God Almighty's gonna roll that stone away. He promised he'd rise up on the third day. Lord God Almighty's gonna roll that stone away. I can get there, James. I can get there. Yeah. The stone has been rolled away. And they saw that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified before the authorities and before all kinds of eyewitnesses, was no longer in his grave. That grave was sealed. It was protected. It was guarded. And he wasn't there. And they heard an angel pronounce the refrain that we love to confess. The man dressed in the white robe said, "He has risen." And we say, "He has risen indeed. Alleluia." Christian, if you're not alive when our Lord returns, there will come a day when your dead bodies will be brought to life just like Christ's. You'll be raised from the dead, never to feel sorrow again. never to have to deal with the hurt you know so well right now. The hurt you've experienced in this life, the hurt you're going to experience some more. The hurt that comes with living in a world populated by sinners, ourselves most definitely included. A hurt that comes from sinning against others and being sinned against. Living in a broken world where sometimes, not because of anything you've done, not because of any particular sin, you just find yourself suffering. The target of misery, aching to be spared from it all. That's what the resurrection of Jesus is all about. Your salvation from that pain. He's the one who saved you. Isn't it great that the Old Testament reading for Easter is from the book of Job? Of all books, Job. There was a guy who knew hurt. He lost everything. His family, his property and wealth, his dignity in the eyes of his friends. He suffered physically, he suffered emotionally, he suffered mental pain, all of it. He battled bodily illness and hopelessness that comes from not being able to protect his loved ones, to be the husband and father he wanted to be. All of it. The pain of feeling abandoned and alone in this world. Yet he said, with conviction and certainty, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, death. Yet in my flesh, a bodily resurrection, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And that was before the cross. That was before Jesus. This was a man who understood that God is not the cause of our pain. He's the solution. God doesn't do these bad things to you. We did it to ourselves. He is the fix. Believer, you have a bodily resurrection to look forward to. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Paul wrote. We shall not all sleep. That's Christian code for die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You, precious people, have been given the victory. You. All of you. It's yours. And I know you're thinking the exact same thing I am. It kind of makes you want to sing a song. Doesn't it? Kind of just makes you want to sing. I can hear it playing like a soundtrack in my mind as we rise up over those losers. Sin, death, and the devil. Can you hear that melody? Raylene's sitting there. She's not at the organ, but can you hear it? We are the champions, my friends. Oh, you were expecting a Christian song, right? And we'll keep on fighting till the end. Come on. We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. I'll take just about anything captive in the name of Jesus. As Justin Martyr put it in the second century, whatever things were rightly said among all men, they are the property of Christians. We can use Freddie Mercury's words all we want and have no qualms about it. He didn't know God gave them to him so that I could hijack them and use it to preach the gospel to hurting souls. It's true. You've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You are champions. And there's no time for sin, death, and the devil. Those losers want to bring you down. The devil wants you to dwell on your sin. He wants to scare you with death and defeat. But you ain't got no time for that. Your sins have been forgiven. All of them. In baptism, you were washed completely clean. Remember the fire hydrant? Yeah, it's that. You were washed squeaky clean. You need not let your sin get you down. When the devil whispers in your ear, and it's not going to sound like an audible voice, right? It's not going to sound like Al Pacino or Tom Ellis, whoever you prefer to play Lucifer. It'll be the same feeling that you know so well. The guilt, the shame that rises up for a sin that you repented of long ago, that's already been forgiven. That's the whisper of the devil. When it keeps popping up in your mind, even though it's old hat. Or perhaps it'll be a jaded impulse to ignore God, to ignore the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, to give up on this church stuff and Christians and drive you away from the faith. Satan likes to whisper the law. He knows God's word. He likes to whisper the law into your heart so as to weigh down your conscience and bind it in chains of guilt and anger, frustration and confusion. And when the devil starts that whispering, and your sin is before you again, remember that you've been given Christ's resurrection victory. That is yours. You are a champion. When the devil says, "Oh, Christian, you've sinned," say, "Yeah, I'm well aware. My heart's vexed by my wretchedness." And I encourage you to use that vocabulary. Who usually talks like that? My heart's vexed by my... Matthew, thank you. Yeah, that's right. Use it. It makes it sound a little more authoritative. My heart's vexed by my wretchedness. I'm so sorry for that sin. And for many more. And I've already confessed it to my God. And He's working in me the very will to never do it again. Though odds are I will struggle with it my whole life. And then say to the Lord of Loserville, "Oh, haven't you heard? Jesus already forgave me of that sin. Did you forget the battle's over? That Christ wiped the mat with your sorry carcass? That you've been defeated? You must be confused, Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. The dung heap's over there. This is the winner's circle. Now be gone. And take your old threat, has been all washed up in the waters of baptism, lies back to hell. Because I'm forgiven. Christ is my Lord. And He has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia." You thought we were practicing just for the kids, but we were practicing for you. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He won it, and He gives it to you. On this day, about 2,000 years ago, the man who taught that He was the incarnate Son of God, one with the Father, Son, well, He's not one with Himself. He is one with Himself. One with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I can blame it on the sunrise service all day long. I'm good to go. I got a scapegoat. Jesus of Nazareth, that guy was raised from the dead. And it was no secret. Hundreds of eyewitnesses testified to His resurrection. He was walking around with the guys and the whole band. He was making breakfast for them on the beach. Maybe we should do that next year. Centerville Beach? Easter breakfast? That might be cool. And He did all of that. So you all would know the very same thing that Job knew, that your Redeemer lives. And at the last day, He will stand upon this earth And after your skin has been destroyed, you have died. Yet in your bodily flesh, you will see God with your own eyes. The crucifixion and resurrection happened so that death could not sting you when it happens to you. But instead, would be the consummation of your baptism and your entrance into life everlasting. Jesus was resurrected, and you will be too. It is true, and so we say, Amen. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.